Hello, Podnutsians, DDG episode 3. First, quickly, I have to mention a conference that I cannot believe I actually skipped, and that is the Unconvention 2017. It's happening in Washington, D.C., September 16th and 17th at 419th 7th Street Northwest. It's a conference where, honestly, I feel mandated to have to show up. Computer repair, computer technician, computer business focused conference. The early bird ticket prices are $199, dress casual. I can guarantee you this is one of the few conferences where there is an entry fee that I can guarantee you it is worth the money. You are going to learn a lot. You're going to meet a lot of the smartest people you've ever seen. And it's really good people. Among them are going to be representatives from Malwarebytes, Instant House Call, Tech Site Builder, Tech Nibble. I do believe Bryce from Tech Nibble is going to be there. Matthew Rodella and Paco from Tech Site Builder and the Computer Repair Marketing Podcast, I believe it's called now. Jeff Halish is going to try to come down. Martin Rambo Obando, Marvin B, Matt Rainey. The names literally go on and on and on and on. I really do encourage people, if you're anywhere in that area, come on down. I will give you just a touch of warning. This is Washington D.C. It's not going to be as expensive as New York City, but it is not cheap. Things down there do cost a little bit of money, so just be prepared for that. The other things I want to mention is that we, again, do not have a Podnuts affiliate. We do have a $1 monthly link to PayPal on the homepage. If you just go to podnuts.com on a full browser, it's on the right side. And if you're on mobile, it's toward the very bottom, where you can via PayPal subscribe to give us $1 a month. We also now have a up and running Patreon for the entire network. That is patreon.com/podnuts. That's patreon.com. This is a crowdfunding site that a lot of services and a lot of podcasts and a lot of content creators use. And I really do encourage people, A, support those who support you. B, if you want Podnuts to remain ad-free, it's really going to take, to be honest, a very small amount of people to step up to help recover the losses that we are having, which we're going to come back to the number of people that need to come out and support us for it to be successful. But also, I do plan on having some extra content sooner or later on that Patreon. I don't know what yet, and I encourage you people, if you want things, you have to send me emails at ddg@podnuts.com. Let me know what you want. We can try to work it in as a reward to a pledge, or once I hit a certain dollar amount, we can start doing things. I really do want to give back to people as often as possible. Really quick follow-up too. I did side mention about the 3D Maker podcast. It is coming. It is a step closer. I officially ordered, quote unquote, the artwork for the podcast. I already have at least a couple of the hosts in mind for the podcast. We have to finalize scheduling, aka I have to find the time to sit down and figure out whose schedules can we shift and to get the most people on as possible. Now a little sidetrack. I'm having a little bit of an issue on my end with this podcast, because I do feel it like I have to have a 3D printer in order to be a part of this Maker podcast. While I do utterly think it's always great to have a complete noob or somebody completely ignorant on any podcast just to keep the conversation at the lowest common denominator, aka as many people can understand what's going on as possible, I do feel basically mandated that I have to have a 3D printer in order to communicate with everyone else on the show. I have a one-car garage in my house. Technically speaking, whenever I do these shows, it's about 10 feet behind my back is the garage. I'm having electrical issues. And I'll just run through it really quick for everyone just to understand the kind of things that I don't understand about electricity and what I do so far. original construction, brand new house. That's how I bought the house. So nothing was done beforehand. Everything is original. Everything was how it was. I've been here for about 10 years. I have one circuit breaker box in the garage. I've taken the panel off. I've first off cut the power, took the entire panel off, used a voltmeter, tested every single circuit breaker. They all come back at 120, just over 120. So they all, I believe, test fine accurately. I do have a couple GFI breakers in there, and they're all fine functioning the way they should be. They're all not tripped, so they're working, I believe, is the correct vernacular how to say it. I have three exterior outlets, true exterior outlets, one out front, two in the back. In my garage, I have two outlets, one on the wall, one on the ceiling. The one on the ceiling works. No exterior outlet nor the outlet on the side of my garage works at all. They're completely dead wires. They're all physically connected, but they're completely dead. I do believe they worked at one point in time. None of them are GFI. When you run things in chain or in succession, not, I believe, parallel is the correct term. I could be wrong. You only need one outlet per each chain to be in a GFI outlet for it to actually protect the entire outlet. The weird thing to me is, above each one of the outlets, essentially, directly above, there's lights. And all those outside lights work and have power and work just fine. I put a light bulb in, they work. But none of the outlets work and all of the circuits test. And I don't understand how that's plausible possible. I think I'm going to have to hire an actual professional to come in and get into my walls and figure out what's going on. But I want to put the 3D printer in my garage. One, so it's completely sound isolated. It can be making as much sound as it wants, and it's not going to bother anybody. Two, if it is possible that any kinds of fumes with any level of toxicity come off of it, it's going to be in my garage. It's not going to be in where everyone's at. It's not going to be by my central AC type unit, by my furnace where it can circulate through the house. Three, I'm going to look at trying to put an enclosure around it of some sort. I really am thinking about trying to get a fireproof one that have temperature sensors inside. And if a temperature reaches a certain highness, aka the thing caught fire, then basically shut off air vents and hopefully suffocate it. But I'm thinking I'm overreacting. I think the days of 3D printers catching on fire is literally now a thing of the past. They've grown up, they've become better, they've become bigger, they've become more technically solid. So I don't think that's really a issue these days anymore. Neither are the fumes unless you use very specific materials. But I'm still going to put it in my garage just for simplicity's sake. So for the time being, what I'm probably end up doing is I have an outlet in the ceiling that works fine. One of them powers my Fios modem, essentially. And the other one is doing my garage door opener. I'm probably going to undo one of them, put in basically a surge protector, a power strip, if you will, and have and then power my 3D printer off of that is what I'm going to probably end up doing, which is not a pretty solution, but it is a solution, and that's the most important thing. The enemy of completion is perfection. That's one of the things I try to adhere to in my life. The enemy of completion is perfection. Listen, if you can get perfection, great for you, but don't make it to where you cannot complete something unless it's perfect or else you will never complete. I want to get this thing up and running. I want to get it up and running as quick as possible. I want to get this show up and running as quick as possible. I feel like every day we don't have this show up and running, we are definitely missing valuable content, and we are missing learning as a team, as a podcasting team, and sharing what we learn with everyone who downloads. So that's in a rush status as far as I'm concerned, but I'm still going to launch it patiently and make sure we have everything up and running correctly before we go forward. The realistic goal is between 5 and 8 or 10 weeks, shooting closer to 5, but I also do have a family vacation to go on for a week, which I'm sure is going to put a hamper on things, I believe, in late June, but we'll see. Rob, I'm recording this on May the 1st. The other things I want to talk about is the random recommendation. And this goes back to the number of people that are going to donate, the number of people that are going to support the network, the number of people. It isn't random, okay? There's certain algorithms. Now, I'm not going to say that there's numbers all around us and you have to pay attention, and what you'll figure out is there's formulas to everything in life. what I will say, it does seem like there's a lot of formulas going all around us in this world that we live in. Just depends on, do you want to pick up on them or not? The random recommendation, it's actually a four-parter. There's actually four parts to this, okay? And I encourage anyone, hear me out, stick with me. The first part is Vsauce. V-S-A-U-C-E. Vsauce is a channel on YouTube hosted by, Michael, I believe is the host name. He's been, I believe, actually a White House, he was on a board basically suggesting science-type content to politicians, higher politicians. I believe he was actually in the Barack Obama White House for at least a couple key meetings, and that is Michael Stevens is the head of Vsauce. But there's Vsauce, Vsauce 2, Vsauce 3, more on and more on. Michael Stevens, really smart guy, but really good at the talent of speech and vocabulary and pacing and like public speaking kind of thing. So Vsauce is the first thing I encourage people to watch. I will remind everyone, I try not to watch anything politically motivated. Okay, if it so happens the person I listen to or I like is in the end political, it's almost happenstance. I can definitely encourage everyone, that's not the reason why I listen to anybody. And I do say, because I do believe this guy is more Democratic than conservative. He is more liberal than conservative. I honestly like to think of myself in the middle, but don't we all? But I like to think I am. This guy brings up some really interesting topics. The quick, for instance, is the color red. If you meet somebody who's never had vision before in their life, how can you define the color red to them? And the quick answer is you can't. It's impossible. It also goes to say, if there are three people that we know, hypothetically me, my wife, and my son, and we all three look at the color red, there is no guarantee that what we see is the exact same thing. The mind interprets color however it wants to see fit, and since we cannot describe in words how red actually looks without saying things that make no sense, like it's like a heart, it's like a Twizzler. Well, what if my red is the other person's purple, is the other person's blue, but in our heads that's red because that's just the way it is. There are certain things that we cannot describe in other than visual context, and that's one of the videos that they talk about. There's hundreds of these videos that they go over in Vsauce. That's the first link, just to this generic channel. The second link is to one of their videos called the Zip Mystery, Z-I-P-F, and this is one of their longer videos. This, I believe, was around a 20-minute video. The gist of this video about Zip is all language follows a pattern, and the pattern is, like, for instance, in the English language, the most popular word is the word the, okay? And in any writings of the English language, hypothetically, Moby Dick, Encyclopedia Britannica, whatever, the number one most used word, okay, and the number two most used word, the number two is used half as much. The third most used is used a third as much as the most popular word. The fourth word is a fourth. The fifth is a fifth. The sixth is a sixth, and so forth and so forth. And it is in all languages, this ratio, this golden ratio of words happens, and it's just the way it is. And, you know, and they try to get into some of the reasons why, some of the patterns that try to explain why these kinds of things happen. To me, it's a really in-depth, really good video on asking questions not everyone is asking, and it's just the kind of thing that gets my mind a-flowing about really interesting topics. Now, halfway through that video, he jumps into another law, because this is Zipf's law. This one is called the Pareto Principle, P-A-R-E-T-O. Okay, this is the 80-20 rule. This is the kind of thing that, again, it's really difficult to explain to people about what these things are. You have to, and there's going to be links to all of the Wikipedias and the YouTubes and the notes. Pareto principle is like this, and I was able to use it at work, and I was able to show how it really does hold true. When I was doing help desk support tickets, it turned out that 80% of the help desk tickets we had were called in by 20% of the people. So if you took a total rank of all the people during any given month, okay, we would see the same names come over and over again, and they were responsible for 80% of the tickets. Also, for instance, like Outlook issues were 80% of the issue. So if we were to able to fix these Outlook issues, we would see a dramatic reduction in our help desk tickets. These are the kind of statistical anomalies that happen everywhere in life. Now, if you watch the Vsauce video, they give you tons of examples of the Pareto principle. And I can guarantee you that if you go into work tomorrow, or you're an entrepreneur and you look at your business or whatever, you will find out, for instance, okay, the Podnuts thing where we're asking for money. What we're going to find out is 80% of the support we get come from 20% of the listeners. And this is basically a golden rule that we can rely on. So hypothetically, if we have 10,000 listeners to Podnuts, we're only going to have 20% of them actively donate and make a difference, where the other ones might every now and then donate a dollar here, a dollar there, $5 a year once or twice kind of thing, and that's it. But we'll have a couple people donating good, like unbelievable money, and then we'll have a lot of people donating the dollar a month or $2 a month, making all the difference in the world. And realistically, I've already calculated these kind of things out versus the total number of Podnuts listeners. What would happen if 20% of these people, you know, how much money would we need on average for these 20% of people to cover the money lost from the Amazon affiliate fee? And it really was a little bit more than a dollar, but I just said a dollar because it was a nice round even number. And to be quite honest, if anyone out there cannot afford a dollar a month to support what you listen to, I really do encourage you to send me an email, ddg@podnuts.com, and I'll do everything in my power to empower them to make more money in their life. Because if you can't afford a dollar a month, you're doing something very wrong in this life, or you have a lot of things holding you back that I would like to help you through. Because we all have times in our life where we all need help. The difference is the people who come out on top ask for help. Bottom line, I really do encourage people, anytime Podnuts can help you as an individual, I ask you, I beg you to please ask somebody in Podnuts. Maybe not me. It might be Jeff on Podnuts. It might be Tracy on Sportsnet. Anybody you feel like you can connect to, if you think like you need help on anything, on learning, on career advice, on what kinds of things to learn, solving problems, if you want to start your own podcast, if you want to start your own business, whatever. Podnuts, first and foremost, is here to help Podnutsians. And honestly, all I'm asking is for the 20% of Podnutsians out there to come back and help us. We haven't hit that 20% mark yet. We're honestly around 7% or 6%. So we still need people to step up to help us out. And I really do encourage people to support those who support you. Please, I need you guys to check out this video on the Ziff mystery. It's a 20-minute video, but I also encourage you every couple minutes to pause, stop, and digest what he's saying. It's really interesting stuff as far as I'm concerned. The Boogie Board Sync giveaway will happen this month. I just don't know when. I did like factory reset it. As far as good as I could tell, it's all ready to go. I just got to figure out how to do the conference. I will announce that on a DDG episode, and the episode will be called Boogie Board Sync Announcement. So that's the easiest way to keep up to date on this. Again, I want to thank everyone for downloading. Thank everyone for their support. I want to thank everybody who's a host on this network, whether it's the newest of the newest guys like Bruce, or whether it's the oldest of the oldest guys like Martin Obando, Eric, Dini, or even guys from back in the day like Steven D'Amico, Steve Cherbino, and everybody else, Timster, everybody. I want to thank everyone again for everything that they've done for this network. And this network is here in return for you. With that, I will talk to everyone again real soon.
My name is Jeff Halish. I'm the host of Podnuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at guest@podnuts.com. Podnuts Daily, where it's fun
music
to talk
provided
tech.
By Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.